Hi everyone, and welcome to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermay, and in today's episode, we'll be talking with Bill Hayes about guiding the first female, Molly Taylor, to an Australian Rally Championship driver title. Bill came into rallying after watching the World Rally Championship event, Rally Australia, in Perth. Starting as a driver in 1997, campaigning a Hyundai Elantra, he won the two-wheel drive F2 championship in 1998 and finished three Rally Australias. Like many aspiring drivers, a lack of funds and a self-proclaimed lack of talent directed him into the passenger seat. His first co-driving foray was very successful, guiding rally legend Rob Herridge to three consecutive state championships. Apprenticeship completed, he then sat beside another rally legend, Ross Dunkerton, in the Mitsubishi factory-supported Magna, winning the Aussie car class in the 2004 Australian Rally Championship. This was the turning point in his career, and in 2005, he resigned from the WA Police Service and signed a contract with Subaru Australia to co-drive for Dean Herridge. From 2005 until 2017, he was lucky enough to be employed as a professional co-driver, competing in nearly 30 rounds of the World Rally Championship and guiding some of the best in the rally business through a variety of forest roads and bitumen tracks throughout the world. And then there is a long list of success, including Australian Rally Championship and Asia Pacific Championship wins. The series win we're exploring today is 2016, where Bill guided Molly Taylor to be the first female to win the Australian Rally Championship driver title. Welcome to Forest.chat, Bill.
Thanks, Paul. And thank you for the invite to be on Forest Chat. We're excited about sharing the story of the 3 years I spent with Molly Taylor as her co-driver.
It's great to have you here, Bill. Bill, for those in our audience that may not be familiar with rallying, can you give us a brief overview of what rallying is?
Yeah, I'll try. Rallying is probably one of the most unique forms of motorsport we have. It's probably the only one where a passenger goes along for the ride. And for a number of years, that was my job to guide them through various stages. Most rallies in Australia now are conducted in our forests or desert areas. And it's a race against the clock. Cars don't race door to door, side by side. They're spaced out at intervals. And your time across the line at the end of that stage is what decides the winner at the end of the day. But most rallies are made up of, 15 to 20 stages over a single or 2 day period.
And what inspired you to take up rallying?
I think we're very fortunate here in the West. I always had a passion for motorsport and we're looking into various forms. And we were lucky here that the World Rally Championship was conducted from Perth for a number of years. So I went out with a good friend of mine and we spectated and helped as volunteers 1 year, and then we both returned next year after buying a car, and I drove in the event as my third rally ever, which was a bit scary and daunting.
Yeah, third event ever, and it's a World Rally Championship event.
That's massive. I think it's a really fortunate aspect of rallying where because you're seated and you race against the clock with these regular intervals between cars, anyone of any ability can start at that level. So, yeah, to be shoulder to shoulder with some of our heroes and superstars was quite exciting, but obviously very daunting as well.
Yes, it's a very unique place to be, isn't it? That, being able to compete at that level, and there's very few sports where it happens.
Oh, 100%. Probably the only other one that I have been involved in the past is triathlon, where you can race beside the pros. You can't turn up for Formula One and have a go on the weekend, that's for sure.
Excellent. And probably good to have some sports where you can't do that. You've got to earn your stripes. But it's definitely a buzz to get in there and have a go against the world's best and see just how big the difference is.
The difference is huge. Well, when I drove, it was anyway.
Oh, dear. So, Bill, it's quite something to become an Australian champion. You achieved that twice with Molly driving. And you as a co-driver are a key strategic partner in the team. So what does it take you to guide a driver to a championship?
I guess there's a lot of things, a lot of aspects. Our role as the co-driver, or, for those that unaware, it's really the navigator. I don't drive in any of these events. I just help guide Molly in this circumstance through the various stages of a rally, which then culminates in the various rallies of a championship. So there's a lot of aspect to it, but in and out of the car, a lot of work's done by both parties, that's for sure. Preparation's probably the key to successful rallying.
And do you have any particular strengths that made you good at co-driving?
I don't know. Probably a question for the drivers that I've sat with. Look, I think I'm an extremely competitive person, sometimes in a bat and too much so, but I think that aspect helps in this situation. A background in policing meant that I'd probably dealt with a lot of high stress situations before, so I felt always felt comfortable no matter what the scenario. I think they're probably the strengths in that aspect.
They're quite unique, having that high stress practice, I'll say, in your workplace, leading you into just having that that calmness that you need under pressure. There must be a lot of psychological control that you exert there.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really important that the driver is in a calm, comfortable space. One thing that's unique with rallying is it's impossible to remember the stages. So you cannot remember every corner, straight, crest, etc. So a lot of that information's got to come from me. And if that's done with a sense of anxiety, they're never going to drive to their full potential. So yeah, it's important that I remain calm in all situations where possible. That's not always the case, obviously, but where possible, though, I think that's a big strength to a co-driver.
That calm, reassuring presence that you have in the car.
Yeah, I think it's really important. It doesn't, you know, you've got to gel really well with your driver. You spend so much time together, whether that's on planes, airports, or primarily in cars. So, you've got to get on well. You've got to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses as well and accommodate those.
So you talk about accommodating strengths and weaknesses. So that's an interesting game. I imagine that the sense of competition was pretty high as a team working together with the two of you. You mentioned about being very competitive. Did that help the situation?
I think so. Yeah, I think Molly is probably one of the most competitive people I've ever met. She was trying to be the best in a very male-dominated sport, so that came with a lot of external elements, a huge fan base, but also a lot of people knocked her position. They felt that she received privileges as a female that others might not have. You know, knowing her from the inside, I knew that wasn't true right from the start of our relationship. You know, she worked harder than anyone I've ever sat with. So, it's important to know what makes each other strive to be the best they can be.
And you got a lot of opportunity to do that in the car, I would imagine?
Yeah, for sure. You know, as I said, we did spend a lot of time. I think when I first started with Molly, I was on the verge of stopping at a professional level. It's not the most lucrative job you'll ever have. So at that point in time, she called me out of the blue looking for a co-driver, with the first round in 2015 being here in Perth, or down south in the Nanup region. And I guess initially I said no. She was quite persistent, said, oh, can you at least think about it for the weekend? And then after the weekend went, I was still sort of 50-50. And then she then proceeded to tell me that she just got a license for a truck license, so she could drive the rally car and truck across the Nullarbor to the event on her own. And yeah, when I realised she was that committed to the results she wanted to achieve, it was a pretty easy yes from me from that. And we just went forward from that point onward.
Excellent. That's that shows quite a lot of commitment on her part. So what was your commitment like?
Especially at a professional level as a co-driver, once you agree to be in, you've got to be in 100%. Your whole focus from fitness to keeping your body weight low in the car, all those sorts of things, you've got to be 100% in. you know, and there was, I was being reimbursed for my time and the effort. So you've got to treat it like a job and you've got to make sure it's a priority in your life. That's for sure. Lots of research into events, lots of research into the car. And then I guess most importantly in this scenario, getting to know her and getting to know how to get the best out of herself.
And did you have any tools in order to do that?
I guess I've been very fortunate, Paul, in my position, having sat with some of the best in our country, you know, Rob Herridge, dual Australian champion, Ross Dunkerton in particular, multiple Australian champion, you know, Dean Herridge, one of the leaders with Subaru for a number of years. These guys know how to win. You know, some of the best lessons was probably from Ross Dunkerton, where, you know, he knew how to win by the smallest possible margin because that created the less risk on the car, the less risk on accidents, et cetera, et cetera. So those experiences helped me, you know, engage with Molly in what she was trying to achieve.
Do you have anything more that you want to talk about in the space of, you know, what it takes for you to do this?
Yeah, look, I think my role, most importantly, is I was just part of a big team. You know, the first year, 2015, with Molly, she funded the whole program herself through sponsorship. She actually borrowed a Renault Clio that Scott Petter had won the Australian Championship in 2013, borrowed the truck from Petter's suspension, and then the rest of it she just funded and worked so hard at herself. So my role was just to manage her in the car and help her, you know, be able to perform at the best of her ability. But her attention to details, second to none. She's as brave as anyone I've sat with. So what we had to do then was look at where else we could improve. And I'm sure she'd be okay with me saying that. Her, probably some of the areas that we needed to improve was the slow speed stuff. Her technique and things to ensure we didn't lose time in the slow speed parts of stages was something we worked really hard at together. But again, we had a great team behind us. Then 2016, we moved into the Subaru that was run by Les Walken. That brought another huge team of experience to the table with support from Subaru. So, yeah, I was one cog in a big chain, I guess.
And it's amazing to be in that situation and see just how much of a team effort it is. And it's not only the people in the car that are there. Without the people outside the car, there's just no way it would happen. You'll be sitting on the side of the road, run out of fuel or something crazy like that because, you know,
yeah,
something
sure
didn't come to be at the right time.
Yeah. Rallying's a bit of a logistical nightmare, and to compete at the top level, it takes all sorts of people, from the truck driver to the catering to, you know, the mechanics to the engineer. We're very fortunate when we were with Subaru, we also had some assistance from sports psychologist Jeff Bond, who would come and help work primarily with Molly, but obviously I was involved in that interaction because some of the methods he was putting in place with her, I obviously had to make sure they were carried through during the event. But, yeah, there's so many people involved in this sport. Doesn't matter how much money you have, if the logistics and the coordination aren't correct, you won't succeed.
You've got to produce that environment that the team inside the car can actually deliver what they need, and when they get back to a service point, everything they need is in place, done, and maintains that calm and comfortable environment, even though things can be pretty hectic around you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and we were very fortunate. We had a great team, great engineers, you know, and a great team owner with Les Walken, which allowed, in particular Molly, but probably both of us, to just get a break during those service periods. In rallying, a car will come into service for a set period of time, normally 20 to 30 minutes. The guys and girls in the team go to work on the car, and we're lucky enough to escape that area and have a bit of downtime. But that was a big factor in Molly's psyche as well, as you know, because she's so intent on being the best she can possibly be, that relaxed period was really important. I obviously helped manage that in some situations. And obviously she was also easily influenced by external. So, you know, the guys in the other cars, they didn't like getting beaten by a female, that's for sure. So there was a lot of effort, both psychologically, you know, and tactically to try and undermine us and undermine the performance that she was delivering on a regular basis.
Operating at that high level, and then she's, you know, the tall poppy.
For sure. You know, she works really hard with her fan base, and because of that, she's extremely popular in all areas of the media. And then, as I said earlier, a male-dominated sport, a lot of people didn't really cope that well with the fact that a female could come out and be not only braver but better at a sport that's considered, you know, quite dangerous.
So you talked there a little bit about the fans and other people obviously being very interested in what she's doing, both in a positive and negative way. So that's very interesting. What we'll do now is take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about what it means. We've heard what it takes to guide Molly Taylor to her Australian Rally Championship driver title. Now it's time to explore what it means. Bill, how has your co-driving changed you, your family, or the community?
Big question, especially when we're relating directly to Molly. I think it changed a lot of the way I operated. There's definitely different psychological aspects to how we succeeded, I guess, in the car with assistance from people like Jeff Bond. We changed from being outcome goal-based, in other words, hell-bent on stage times, to being more process goal-based. And this took change from me as well. Obviously, I was a bit older, so, you know, I was quite obsessed with just the stage times, but we broke that all down and looked at the processes to get those times and worked more in that area, which was unique for me as a co-driver compared to most of the drivers I'd sat with before. From a life influence point of view, I've got three daughters, so it was a great space for me to work. I thoroughly enjoyed it. They were all quite interested in Molly. They, you know, she became part of our family. We saw her on a regular basis. They still follow her very closely now. My oldest daughter's back co-driving again this year, and I'm sure some of that inspiration comes from people like Molly Taylor and her dedication, not just to success, but to the sport and to the fans and to her sponsors, inspired me along the way as well.
So in amongst all of the connections that you make during the sporting activities, what were some of the highlights in the people that you met that actually influenced what you do today?
Look, I've been so fortunate in this career, like, you know, to actually have a co-driving career as your primary source of income, especially in Australia, is quite unique. You know, there's probably only, over the last 15 years looking back, there's probably only three or four of us that have actually managed to get to that level where it's been our primary source of income. I was really fortunate that when I first came into the sport as a co-driver, you know, involved with Maximum Motorsport and the Heritages, where their attention to detail is second to none. You know, Maximum are well known for always having the lightest cars because the detail goes into removing any excess weight. The year with Ross Dunkerton was unique because he's considered a bit of a larrikin, but behind the helmet, he was probably one of the most serious characters I've ever worked with. You know, then to be involved with Subaru and the factory team was, again, just a great experience where, you know, the rally program was used to market the WRX and the SDI. So the funding behind that program was great, but the results were expected. So you had to do your job and there was no room for error in that space. The years with Alistair McRae and Proton, I guess, took my experience in the sport to another level. He was very much, you're the co-driver, you do everything related to co-driving, and I just drive this car as fast as I possibly can. So I probably took on a bigger role in that space, and I could bring that knowledge then across to the time I spent, you know, with Tom Wilde, who's probably one of the most talented guys I've ever sat with, and then, you know, the great times I had with Molly. 3 years, one driver's championship, second in the other 2 years, and then I was lucky enough to pick up a second co-driver's championship during that period.
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of meaning there for you. Like, it's really become an extreme part of your life there for a while, being pretty much what you do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, it was my life. You know, I think anyone who's competed at a high level in motorsport of any discipline realizes that it starts to consume you. Not in a bad way. I enjoyed all of it, but also probably one of the hardest things as a co-driver is having the confidence to reach out, you know, to these drivers, or to prove to these drivers that, you know, you actually should be financially compensated for your role. You know, Alistair McRae is probably the best example of that. There's probably 1,000 co-drivers around the world that would have sat with him free of charge just to be in the car with a McRae and with a person of that ability. So for me to prove that I deserved to be paid for my time meant I had to, you know, perform at another level all the time.
So very much stepping up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and not with ego, just to, you have to be confident that you can do the job, and you have to portray that, because often the first experience of the two of you working together is in the car at 180 kilometres an hour through the trees. So, you know, the interview or the selection process for a co-driver is, you know, you need to be confident in your knowledge, and that comes from researching, learning, and most importantly, listening to others, and, you know, always looking at ways to improve what you do in the passenger seat to make it less hassle for the driver.
That's sets the standard for the level of where you're operating. You know, that doing 180 between the trees, it's a very intense environment.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, people often, especially people away from the sport, say, how do you just sit beside someone with zero control? And to be honest, at that level, you can control the speed a lot more than most people realise. You know, one mistake by me is going to cause that monumental crash, and vice versa. So the faster you're going, or the higher level you're competing at, the more influence in those situations that comes from the co-driver. But I guess the really important thing as a co-driver is you have to be there because you want to be a co-driver, not because you're a disgruntled driver. You have to realise your role. It's not equal. I'm the PA in the car. I'm the one that tells them what time we have breakfast, what time we start the first stage, and then guide them through the stage. But if you're in that seat because, you know, you think you're a good driver or something like that, it's probably not the attitude to take to professional co-driving.
Absolutely not. I'm sure that would be a recipe for disaster. The drivers just wouldn't stand for that anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're there to help get the best out of themselves, not for your own ego. You know, the rewards come with it, obviously. You know, one of the most probably awkward moments in my career was in 2017, where because the eventual winner of the championship, Nathan Quinn, had two co-drivers, on points, I'd actually won the Australian Co-Driver Championship before the last round. But I didn't feel, that just felt like a totally shallow situation to me. I only win if the driver wins, in my opinion. So then to have the most unfortunate engine failure ever in the last round, we went into the last round of the 17 championship virtually just needing to finish. There'd been a few issues around the 16 win where people accused us of all sorts of things that we 100% were never involved with. But in 17, Molly had proven on speed and consistency that she was the best. So we were heading for a back-to-back championship, but unfortunately we had an engine failure in the last round. But like I said, it didn't feel right to me that I'd won the co-drivers championship because she'd unfortunately ended up second in the driver championship.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive feat to get there and then to be denied for her because you weren't denied that trophy, but she was based on that last, minor mechanical.
For sure. Oh, it was pretty monumental mechanical. It was outside of the block. But, yeah, look, even then, the guys tried to repair it with the restart format being a world championship event. We could restart, and the guys, worked. They literally stripped the engine on the floor of the service area, got it going again, but unfortunately it failed us as we left the next morning. So, yeah, probably one of the most gut-wrenching experiences in my life, let alone in rallying, to see how hard she'd worked to prove that she was the best at the time and to have a comfortable lead in the championship going into that event. It was testament to the effort she'd put in. And then to have a result like that was pretty gut-wrenching. So I never really celebrated or felt that I deserved the championship win that year.
Yeah, that's an interesting place to be, especially with a team sport and the and let's say the recognition is unbalanced. So it's very interesting to see what that means to different people, Bill. And next up, we'll have a look at how you go about being a co-driver. Bill, you put a lot into those two runs at the championship, and how do you actually go about an event?
I guess as a co-driver, it's one word comes to mind, and I guess we all repeat it all the time. It's just preparation. Leading into an event, it would depend on whether it was a new event or a repeat of previous years. Once the maps and the courses are released, I would then go through all of them and compare them to the previous year, for example, and then relay all that information back to Molly in the weeks leading in. Where possible, we'd use previous what we call pace notes, which is the information that we've created on, the picture of the stages, which is the most important part of rallying. As I said earlier, you can't remember those stages. We'd use video from previous years if we had it from the onboard cameras that are in the car during the rally. So that part we'd work together on. Lots of conversations on the phone with me living in Perth. And then I'd then work on the logistic format, such things as I calculate the fuel required for each stage, because what we try and do is minimise weight. Weight is horsepower, weight is speed. So, we calculate the fuel down to, we'd never return to the service park. Well, we try to never return to the service park with any more than 10 litres of fuel in the car. But obviously, if you get much lower than that, there's a risk of running out of fuel. So all those things are calculated and worked out before we go to the event. Again, like I said before, to keep the situation calm, the preparation is the key, because then you've already done the homework in those areas. You're not trying to do it in the car as you're driving along.
And you talked briefly about pace notes. They are the description to the stage. What sort of system was being used?
Pace notes is a bit of a black art, to be honest. It's most importantly, it's the driver's interpretation of what the road is doing. So what happens prior to a rally, if it was a new rally, for example, there's an opportunity normally the day before to do reconnaissance over the stages. The current format in the Australian Championship is you're allowed to drive each stage twice, normally in a normal road car with road tyres at a restricted speed of about 60 kilometres an hour. The driver would describe the road using some sort of system that grades the angle of the corner. Molly, for example, used a number system from memory. It was 1 to 10. Might have been 1 to 6, but 1 to 10. And she'd grade each corner. She'd measure the distances between the corners, describe what's over blind crests and things like that. and I then record that in a form of shorthand. And then on the second run through on that reconnaissance, we'd check all of that. We'd also video it on the second round. And then after that, before the rally starts, and this is often the night before the rally, the homework is quite intense. I would go through all those notes, and for example, we'd normally write a whole A4 page per kilometre of information, and I double check them, link them up where things need to be said quicker, slow them down where there's gaps in the information. That normally takes on average about 2 minutes a kilometre, so a 200 kilometre rally would mean about 400 minutes of homework, so quite a bit of effort goes into that. Then Molly and I would go through the video and then triple check all of that information. And this is all done often in the 24 hours before the event. So, but that detail is where the speed and also the safety comes from. And they're called pace notes for that reason. So she could drive as fast as possible to that information, even though she couldn't actually see yet where the road was going.
Yes, that's one of the areas where the trust comes in big time, isn't it?
Yeah, trust, and it's a real skill for a driver, especially with the restricted speed limits, to be able to determine what the car's going to be doing during the stage. You know, we're going down a long straight over blind crests at 60 kilometres an hour, whereas in the rally we could be up to as fast as 180 kilometres an hour. So the driver's got to judge whether those blind crests are actually going to be a huge jump, how fast the next corner is going to be on approach, you know, where they need to brake for that. So it's a real skill unique to rallying. Yeah, an example I use regularly is Kimi Raikkonen went rallying in the World Championships for a number of years. He was clearly one of the best drivers that exists in the world. He struggled with this component. So he struggled to match the speed of the front rally drivers because his ability to either write or interpret the pace notes was not up to the standard required to be as fast as the best in the sport.
Yes, it's amazing. You know, you just think about somebody describing the road to you and your speed depends on it.
Oh, 100%. And the important thing to understand for those budding co-drivers is the information is the driver's information. The pace notes are the driver's pace notes. You're there as the recording device, and then it's your job to deliver that information at the appropriate and correct time. Relaying that information too slowly can obviously cause a big accident, but relaying the information too early often causes the driver to slow down too early, which you lose time from. So it's the timing of the delivery is important, but the actual information and the pace notes are the driver's documents. You're just the one writing it down.
Absolutely. I've sat next to people who could pretty much recite back their stages because they've done the homework and they had the memory and ability to do that. And I've sat with people who had a little bit of a slide in the car and forgot what I told them. So.
Yeah, for sure. And then, as you know, Paul, you know, that slide normally is something that makes the co-driver apprehensive and they often lose their place because of it. So, you know, if you've done your homework in that space so you know exactly where you are so you don't lose that position. But when it comes to putting the effort in, I've never seen anyone that puts the effort in that Molly put in. She was second to none in that space. You know, she would forego a lot of sleep to just re-study those notes and those stages and, you know, make the finest of tunes that might save a tenth of a second. Those sorts of things was the attention to detail was unbelievable.
The attention to detail is clearly a very big part of the success. So thank you for sharing your experience of guiding Molly Taylor to her Australian Rally Champion Driver title, Bill. And from all Forest.chat listeners, we wish you all the best in your future endeavours.
Thanks, Paul. As I said at the start, I really appreciate the invite and, yeah, obviously enjoy talking about those great times in my life and, the time with her. And she's proceeding very well at the moment. She's back in the Australian Championship. She's won the Extreme E competition and back in there again this year. So I enjoy following from the outside and still chat to her regularly.
Fantastic. You've been listening to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermeer, and in today's episode, we talked with Bill Hayes about guiding Molly Taylor to her Australian Rally Championship driver title. Remember, there are four ways you can get involved with Forest.chat. Share the domain Forest.chat with your friends and family and people you meet. Listen to the published episodes at forest.chat/episodes. Book an interview at forest.chat/interview. Book an advert at forest.chat/advert. I'm looking forward to joining you with our next interview. Until next time, enjoy making it happen.